Hi, welcome. This is our full moon gathering. Today we got a newcomer, also like an old comer, because we
There's
have a
not so
podcast
many.
before. Yeah. It's Marlo. Welcome, Marlo.
Thank you.
Yeah. And also, Natalia is taking a break today because she has a party to attend, birthday party. So, yeah. So, but she's with us in spirit, so that's good. And then today is a full moon, so it's Linda is going to share with us her first new published book, and then share with us, and then we go from there. Linda.
Okay. Unexpected Adventures for Shamanism, A Suburban Mom's Journey on the Red Road. Well, when I started this, which was a long time ago, in the, let's see, 1978 is when I started with my first teacher. And she used to meditate with Yogananda, who used to come up through Encinitas and meditate at her house. But if you told me then, she was a storyteller. And so she, like, I'm a storyteller now also. But she would tell these stories, and I thought they were pretty incredible and kind of weird. And, you know, I at 27, I thought it was interesting. And then as time went on, we had a beauty shop, and we had 9 operators and very busy mainstream life. And I connected with these Indians in 1988. And that's when I started my journey on the Red Road. And anybody who's been there, that's why I was kind of looking forward to Janet, because the people who are really enjoying my book or calling me and saying they've read it, they've experienced some of that stuff. It's weird. And I talk about the green light. I talk about getting lost. I just got lost going to my son's dental office. I have never been lost. I've been going there for years, and I was just lost. And so that I always know that that is a sign something has changed, or there's going to be challenges or something. Now, if you told me that when I started this journey, I always got annoyed because I didn't have, you know, GPS. I would stop at places and ask people, and I've been there before. So I write, oops, sorry. Where are you? We're on. Okay, well, Marlo's, yeah, we're on right now. Marlo's on. And so everybody's on except Nadia. Okay. See, I knew that. Sorry. So, Janet. But anyway, so when I started this journey, I was completely oblivious that these would be the challenges. I would be getting lost. I'd be, you know, up in the mountains, not knowing what I was doing. It was cold, hot, you know, and also I'd be in charge of people. And my teacher would hand over people to me and say, okay, and I didn't know what I was doing. Okay, you do it. But you see the thing in the shaman's journey, it doesn't occur to you to say no. You want to do the best thing you can, even if you don't know, but you follow it. Or he'd give me a shovel and say, dig a hole. And I'm from a beauty shop, you know, middle class, you know, upper class. But I never said to him, oh, what do you mean dig a hole? But, you know, you follow directions and whatever that is, or you sing the songs or you help build a lodge. And one of the first trips I was on in the wilderness, there was this guy there that kept talking about his dad. My dad this, my dad that, as we're building a sweat lodge. And of course, you know, I've built a lot of sweat lodges now. I'm not the good originator. And finally, I said to this David, I said, who is your dad? Peter Caddy from Finhorn. And he was our cook, our guide. So the people that were involved in all of this were pretty interesting people and very dynamic. And he had helped start Finhorn, and he went back because he was a contractor and helped do stuff. So in the journey, and when people have read it and shared their stuff, they now look at me in a different way because I did follow directions. Or like one time Charlie called me like on a Tuesday and said, will you come up here and help me? And that was on a Tuesday. And, you know, I was a single mom, had 2 kids. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. So I was in my car on Friday driving up to the campground. I knew where it was. I was lost for 3 hours in the dark. I did not find the campground till 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that meant. I mean, I knew I was lost, believe me. I was annoyed, But what I found out is a shift in my consciousness that I wasn't ready for. So whenever that happens, including going to my son's office recently, I know there's a change going on. I'm never happy about it. You know, his main receptionist called me and says, Linda, where are you? And I said, well, I took the scenic route. I'm not going to tell her my shaman's journey and say, well, something's changing and I don't know what it is. So that's kind of it. So my book has been very interesting as to the people who respond to it. You know, I haven't heard anybody dislike it, let's say. I think they're kind of surprised because I'm really good at following directions. And like I said, when this last retreat I was at Starbucks, which I've been with all these guys. And this, I was by myself and I got this message to go on retreat. And what I call the green light. Charlie used to say, if you get the green light, you have to go. And 90% of the time when I get the green light, I know I have to go. And I didn't know why, but I did go. And it was a really good experience because I was with all writers, doctors, you know, very professionals. I was probably the kookiest one. But so it's really important, you know, to follow those signals. And that's one of the things, the psychological part of it is very tough because you have to do your work. And everybody on this call probably has done their work. But a lot of people, when they say you have to do the work, it's not just the airy-fairy kind of craziness. It's being lost. It's being cold or being wet. Or, you know, like Marlo closed a business. We closed our, and so did Lewis. And here we were in Mount Shasta thinking we'd be going on indefinitely. And then all of a sudden the rug was pulled out from under our business. So, you know, you never know what that journey is going to take. And that was one of the things in when Janet comes on, because unless you've experienced this following the energy, it's very peculiar. And it's not more, well, I Ching, I mean, you left Mount Shasta, you're in Cupertino, now you're coming back. You thought you were going to Dallas or Houston. And, you know, you don't know. And now Marlo's in a new profession, new old profession, yeah. And following the guidance. Mm-hmm. You know, if I told him this 3 years ago, he'd go, oh, I don't know. And that's the way it is. So that's what my book's a lot about. And my new book coming up, we'll even delve into some more storytelling because I didn't tell all the stories. I have a lot of them, but it's always interesting too. Let me just tell one quick story. There was this Japanese gal, her name's Tataiko. And she's a very famous makeup artist in Japan. And she had spent a week here and we had done this and done that, and you know, all the stuff. So one time she calls me and I'd forgotten about the story. And she calls me and she said, I have a friend there, you have to go get her. And I said, really? And she was at a retreat and I don't know the woman. She's completely Japanese. I didn't even know where this place was. I finally found it. I found this woman who was a mess, crying, carrying on. You could tell she was a strong woman, but kind of a puddle. I pick her up, meaning get her in the car. I go, okay, what am I going to do with her? And Tataiko trusted me enough that she knew I could help her. And at this point, I'm going, I don't really even have any idea. So I drove her over to the headwaters. We went up and sat on a bench and watched the stream. And I didn't do anything. I probably had my drum. And then I brought her home and I did a massage on her and cleared her energy. And I never talked to her because she didn't speak English, you know, other than smiling and, you know, that kind of thing. And then I took her back to the retreat and she flew out the next day because she didn't want to be around those people. And Tataiko thanked me, you know, that I had taken such good care of her. I don't know what I did, but I was more than willing and wanted to help Tataiko because she's a great person. And it was very last minute and an emergency call. So those are the things that happen. And like I said, I never really did talk to this woman other than smile and wave up, you know, the wing or something, you know, and play the drum. So that's kind of where my new book starting is, with Tataiko saving this woman from being a mess with this group.
Great. Linda, can you lift your a book so people can see. Yeah. Good. So that's Linda's the first book just published. If you're interested, you can order it online, Amazon.com, correct?
Right. Actually, so that's where most people have ordered it, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Marlo did, and Lewis did, and just went to Amazon.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Marlo, since you just joined us today, do you have any experience you would like to share with us about Mount Shasta or about your recent shifting of your life?
Yeah, well, sure.
I'd love to share. I've gone through some big changes since the Lionsgate portal 888 this last month, and I had some really powerful synchronicities that happened that led to me going to Mount Shasta towards the end of the portal, the Lionsgate. I had intuitively a lot of things happen in my career that were happening, and I just told myself I needed to create, and which a lot of people are doing in this new kind of new beginning, in this new awareness in our world. And I've been kind of feeling that internal urge to do that. So in saying that, I gave my notice at my work. I worked at Whole Foods Market in the Wellness Center as an educator. And so it happens when I gave the notice, I had no idea. My last day was on 888. From there, the next day, I was going into straight into Mount Shasta. And none of this I really was really aware of at the time. Maybe part of my higher conscious or the universe around me is planning, you know, our ancestors, our spirit helpers, our just our Mother Earth in itself. And this whole time I've really just kind of set an intention for some things. And then when I got up there, we had some amazing things happen. I went to Panther Meadows, and which was really beautiful. You know, the meadow is blooming and the vibration's high. And of course, with the Lionsgate going on, and I went with Linda, which was a treat, you know, to have Linda, who's lives in Mount Shasta and has so much knowledge on the mountain, kind of guide me through that process. And we just kind of took just like a little shamanic walk and talk through up there. Unbeknownst, Linda's sandal breaks, and through this whole process of, you know, we had some great moments of sitting there on a rock and exchanging conversation about the mountain and about the indigenous people that went to, and I just felt very honored and just to be there, of course, on that sacred land. We kept on going up there, not finding the path, which is kind of a synchronicity too in its own self. And then we had some amazing things happen up there with people praying and singing. And when we came back down, Linda's sandal broke and she walked down barefoot the whole way, which was another interesting connection. Just this duality of male and female, us talking to each other, and just we were hyper-focused on just mindful of the earth, watching our steps, where we were walking. We slowed down our process. This whole process, excuse me while I talk, I have to grab somebody here. It was a beautiful experience. And hang on, I just have a rabbit. He's been kind of wanting to be a part of it. So anyhow, we became very mindful of our earth and very mindful of everything that was happening around us and very connected in that whole situation. And Linda's just a woman warrior, you know, walking down there barefoot in that situation. And it was a beautiful trip. There was a sweat lodge too, a reception for our good friend Michael. And then we went back, which is, we went back to the lower part of Panther to get the water. And while we were there, and this is another synchronicity too, I do believe that happened for a reason, because we had to go back at the end of the trip to get water. And while we're there, we sat, and a woman showed up out of nowhere and shared stories with us about Charlie Tom. And it was amazing. It was almost like he was there. And I just sat there and listened to these beautiful women tell these stories, pass on these stories about Mount Shasta. And it was just all laid out for me to just listen. And whether I was listening to the trees, or I was listening to the water, or the stories, or it was all laid out for me to just experience. And when I came back to Sacramento, I am now in the process of going back to being a hairstylist and working for Aveda. I love Aveda. It's a great company. And and so that's just been a huge shift in my life. But even more than that, the internal a change within me from Mount Shasta, from that, what I'm downloading. I had a group I was working with down here that disintegrated. It was a sweat lodge, and it kind of, they stopped doing it. The day I got back, well, during this whole process, actually, I found out I was invited to a new sweat lodge, and I went to that one. And so now I have some continued more new teachings that are going on that have been brought to me. And it's just been incredible. Every time I go there, I download major things, and I'm just making a big shift in my life to, I want to create again and use my hands in my career sense. And I've made so many great, beautiful connections up in Mount Shasta and since I come back. So, this, by the way, this is my rabbit. I'm fostering him. He showed up at my house in my garden on spring equinox. He's just like a little angel. So he wants to be a part of it. He was kicking in his cage, so he told me to be over here. So, but yeah, I'm just blessed to be here and to hear about Linda's book and each one of you. But yeah, thank you.
That's great. Thank you for sharing. Actually, I was in Mount Shasta facilitating a retreat for a couple from Los Angeles. And they are very into this Tibetan Buddha, which is good, you know, from a different religions, a different culture. And the experience that the guy had, their couple, husband and wife, when I did the guided meditation with them, he's starting like a very fast. He became like a very visual doing the meditation. And then where I took them to a crystal shop, and then he picked up a crystal, an amethyst crystal. And then he actually received the message from the crystal that he holds and then meditate with it. So that's a very like, it surprised me because, you know, he awakened in his third eye so fast, just a couple days of a retreat that we did. We were there a total 8 days, and for his wife, she didn't get too much because she's a person I think a lot and think very much. But every time we do the meditation, what she has was completely blank. Which is good because, you know, the energy of Mount Shasta kind of block her mind from getting, you know, interfere with the thinking from the outer world. So I think that's a very good experience for them. And also on AA, we're we were walking up to a bunny flat, and there are two girls, Asian girls, they're coming down. We just kind of not head to each other, but then they came back and give us something to, you know, she was guided to give it to us. And then we start talking, we start connecting, and they have the group that they are doing the water ceremony, water blessing, you know, throughout the entire world. They had people from Egypt, they had people from Hawaii, they had people from Australia, Japan, and people from China as well. So, you know, all the light workers seems to do a lot of similar things, you know, all over the world. Even though we didn't physically connect, but the incident like us, that we ran into each other, made us aware of that there are other team, other groups, they are doing the same thing like we are doing. So I think we're on the right track, just continue our great work, and then just stay together, you know, and so we can help the consciousness increased. Yeah. So that was my AA Mount Shasta retreat that I share with you. And Linda already shared hers, and then Marlo already shared his. So Jennifer, do you have anything you want to share with us on the AA or Lionsgate?
No, nothing. Let's say it affected a lot of people around me. Okay. So I was kind of in the middle seeing what was happening to them.
Okay.
But I was okay. So that's how my day went at that point.
That's good. Yeah. It's good that you can be the observer, you know, so you don't get affected or impact from other people's. Yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of have to sit back and stay out of that energy. I kind of like lock them out, basically, because a lot of the ones that was coming at me were very toxic. They were, yeah, it was very toxic. And I was like, I don't need that in my space. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. So I kind of like lock them out, because some of them I never knew they had a side to them like that, to be honest. But you know,
sure, we found out that some of those people we didn't realize were so mean.
Yes,
and dark.
Yes, that is exactly what happened.
I know. You just shake our heads and say, okay, another one. Didn't expect that.
Yeah, yes, the things that were coming out of the mouth was not good.
You know, it's good thing about that we can laugh it off. That's a good thing, you know. So
yeah, and get support that we're not crazy, you know.
Yeah.
That it's not just us. It's just the people exposing themselves. And sometimes we've been very numb and naive as to it, you know. Mm-hmm. And now we're getting that, no, this is really the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for sharing. How about you, Luis?
And thank you for asking, Yiching. I've been visiting my brother here in Santa Monica, and I'm on a self-healing journey dealing with the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. And I had a synchronicity. I encountered a Joe Ray healer here who's been giving me treatments. Joe Ray is a Japanese form of energy healing, similar to Reiki, but different. And today, this 8-8 for me was my normal meditation. I meditate every day, and so 8-8 was incorporated. I was aware of the energies, but they didn't overwhelm me in any way. Today, this morning, I went with my Joe Ray healer friend to the Lake Shrine Temple meditation, and they have a service every Sunday morning. So I was at the Lake Shrine, which I consider to be the actual center of Los Angeles, the heart center of Los Angeles. So all is well.
That's good. Very good. And so actually, after I came back from Mount Shasta, I feel like it takes more time to unwind. And also, I have to do like a 2 or 3 times meditation a day. So I guess I'm getting a lot of lot more downloading, and then, you know, from the higher dimension, higher vibration. So yeah, that's why we ran into this couple girls, and then they're weaving, they're also doing a lot of great work. So I prepare today's PowerPoint. So I want to show with you guys again about the dragon ley line versus earth seven chakra. What's the relation of them? We did the seven chakra in full moon, last full moon that we did, but this is just adding on the dragon ley line, the connection between dragon ley line and the seven chakras. So I want to share with you guys here, because since we are doing a lot of work while we're sleeping, and a lot to do with the earth grid system, the ley line working physically or, you know, spiritually. So this is the PowerPoint. So the most sacred spiritual location on the earth. The earth has seven chakras, which we already knew, or you can call wheel of energy, or you can call vortexes. And just like our human body, these chakras fuel and spray spiritual power. Being close to these physical energetic points in invigorating and spiritually awakening. So that's what the earth chakra does to us. And then also they're hidden from the naked eye, but if we go near them, it will boost your spiritual power and overall energy. So we know Mount Shasta is our root chakra. So we know when we go to Mount Shasta, we can feel something different. Or if we go to like even Sedona, even Ayers Rock, or even Stonehenge, okay? So they related with a different chakra, but on the energy spiritual level, they can help us, yeah. So the earth chakra corresponded with our chakras in our human body. And also most earth chakras are on ley lines. They're invisible magnetic lines of energy which runs across the earth and hold cosmic and divine power. So these are the most sacred spiritual locations. Now you can see the picture on the right side. Those are location of our seven chakras. The only one has a little bit slightly discrepancy is the third eye chakra. It's supposed to be between our fifth chakra, between the pyramid and the Stonehenge. Yeah. So let's move on to a second. This we already show you last time, so we kind of just quickly go through this. It's a root chakra is a location, is a body location, is the base of our spine, governs the trust and groundedness. Okay, so that's the root chakra, Mount Shasta. Second chakra is a sacral, it's in Lake Titicaca. It's a border of Peru and Bolivia. The element is water. So it's below the navel. It's about creativity, sexuality, and passion. Okay. And then third chakra is Uluru. It's in central of Australia. One of the girls that we met, she actually lives in Sydney. So she lives in Australia. So we'll see how things are gonna unfold. I'm feeling that next year I'm gonna travel a lot, just to go to all these chakra places, all the gate portals that we will talk about at the last, maybe next time. So the element is a fire. And then it's about wisdom, power, and confidence. It's in base of our rib cage in the center of our abdomen. Yeah, so that's a third chakra. Fourth chakra is a Stonehenge. It's between Glastonbury and Shaftesbury and Stonehenge in England. The element is air. And then location is the heart and the chest. It governs love, healing, and forgiveness. So that's our Stonehenge. There's a green dragon guardian, the Stonehenge. That in previous gathering, we did a meditation. We went there. We feel, we see the green dragon was there, you know. So the throat chakra is a great pyramid of Giza. So it's in Egypt, Mount Sinai, and the Mount of Olives. The element is ether. Location is throat, neck, ears, and shoulders. It governs communication and the truth. So that's our fifth chakra, throat chakra. And you can see these are the symbol of the each chakra in this location right here. So third eye chakra, we talked about that last time, the one before. Element is light. The body location, they always say between the eyebrows, but I would say it's more accurate location would be pineal gland. That's where our third eye. And right now it's between the sixth chakra is the only one movable. So it's between Stonehenge and then pyramid. And then it governs awareness, intuitive, and clarity. So if you have clairvoyance, intuition, you know, it's all from this third eye chakra. So the other girl that she is from Tibet, which is from China, from Tibet. So I guess we're opening up the connection between, we're adding on the connection with the Mount Kailai, which is Kwan Chakra, as well as the third chakra is a solar plexus, which is in Australia. So I think these are something that is unexpected, but it just kind of happened. So that's why I share with you guys, and then so that way we can, you know, starting to weave in the earth grid system and then all work together, yeah, to be stronger. Yeah, so Mount Kailash is in Tibet. There's no element, not element, it's none, but the location is top of the head and governs the spirituality and the faith. So that's the Kwan Chakra. And so these we already went through last time, the one before, but today I want to talk about this because we're doing a lot of grid system, you know, consciously or unconsciously, dream time or, you know, physically. So I want to share with you is that the Earth Chakra and the Dragon Ley Line. Dragon ley line, they have actually male dragon ley line and then female dragon ley line. And you can see this picture on the right. And look at this, the root chakra falls on the male dragon ley line. Okay, so on the left side, the root chakra on Mount Shasta, you can see the map. Okay, and you see the dash line from here. This is the male ley line. This one is a female ley line. Okay, so sacral chakra is actually intersection of the female and the male ley line, and then it's at the Lake Titicaca, this one. Okay, and then the solar plexus is on the right side. I don't know if you can see that. Maybe it's blocked by our faces here, but it's on the female dragon ley line, runs between Lake Titicaca and then Uluru, okay? And then the heart chakra is on female dragon ley line, flows from Uluru to Stonehenge, which is, this one is a heart chakra. And some of the chakra does not fall on the ley line, dragon ley line, which is okay. Such as throat chakra, okay? Throat chakra is not on the ley line at all, but still on the grid system. Still a very powerful, strong vortex. And then crown chakra connects the heart, solar plexus, and the sacral chakra through the female ley line. So you can see for the female ley line, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. Four chakra on it. But look at this. The only male dragon ley line falls is the chakra falls on is a Mount Shasta. You know, it's a Mount Shasta. A special one is a sacral chakra because it's an intersection. So this is also a very powerful place about, you know, your will, your ability, your power, your personal power, personal intention. So these are the ley line I want to share with you, because the girl from China, she shared with me a lot of about what kind of a work they're doing. So I think this is also related. So that way, now you know better, you have more knowledge about the ley lines too, you know. So, I mean, there are more, but we just talk, basically we talk about this earth chakras versus dragon ley lines. So that's why we use this simple picture to show you. Of course, there are more minor ones, smaller ones, that in the future we're going to talk about that. But today we just share this with you, okay? And then, The next meeting we're gonna have, I will talk about this earth. I will continue this topic, but I will including the 13 gates, which is, this is the book or the website. I found out this picture on the website. So I think it's something that we worth mention in our next meeting. You see on the Mount Fuji is also one of the gate. That's why Linda feel a very close connection with Japan, Mount Fuji, because she always have a Japanese group coming to her, to Mount Shasta. So that's something that we're going to mention next time. That's one of them. And the other one that I want to kind of talk about, it will be in the future meeting too, is this one. These are American ley lines, but Grand Teton. Mm-hmm. Grand Teton is oldest, how do I say that? Oldest class, how do I say that? Oldest spiritual school on the earth. We're not talking about like a physical school, spiritual school, but it's the oldest spiritual school on the energy level on the earth. And I was fortunate to take a group to Grand Teton, and we stay in I think it was a Jennifer Lake, and that was amazing. When I walk out and the lake is like, oh my God, the reflection, the mountain, the clouds of the lake was, you know, unbelievable. So I think maybe in the near future, I have to go back there again, but you can look at this Mount Shasta on the left side, and then Lake Tahoe, also part of this American Ley Line that connected. And I'm sure some of the other places that maybe some of you went there before. So when we talk about this, if you've been to any one of these, you can share with us your experience or something like that. But these are the future information that we're going to talk about that, you know. So yeah, that's what I'm going to share today. But on the meeting, I posted Earth Chakra Journey podcast, because Linda has been talking to me or reminding me about we want to start interview people, their relationship or their experience with Mount Shasta. But just the other day before I posted the our meeting schedule, I just got this, Earth Chakra Journey, because a recent connection with the two girls on the mountain, and then we talk about the weaving, the earth grid, and this and that. So I think the better title we're going to use will be Earth Chakra Journey. So I think Linda and I don't know when we're going to start it, but Linda and I, we're going to work on it to do this podcast. We're going to invite people that they have experience with the mountain or certain location, places on the earth, and then we can invite them to share their experience with the mountain or with the lake or with the place, just like Mount Shasta. But I don't think we want to just do the Mount Shasta. I think every other place is also very sacred, and then that those places do change people's life. So if we can, you know, kind of broaden this spec, then, you know, we can get our content more exciting and cover more area. Yeah. So I'm going to start working with Linda about that, and then we'll see when we're going to start it and then how we're going to do it. Yeah. So Linda, do you have any guided meditation you want to facilitate today, or?
No, what I think is important is what you're talking about is getting more familiar with each chakra. I've been doing that since, Marla was one of the people on my journey, and we don't have to do that now, but I think it's really important to understand the chakras on your own body and what ones are blocked, or because I think we have a predetermined idea of how they are, that our root chakra is okay, we don't have this. And what I've learned by listening to this other woman, for instance, your root chakra, you could be based on fear through your life, because let's say as a baby, you have colic, and nobody comes to get you, and you're in your crib. And you, as a newborn, has made the assumption it's not safe. So what we have to do in our chakras, all of the chakras, especially going up from our sacral to our heart chakra, is go through, and if anybody wants this woman's, her name is, Margaret, Lynch, and I've been hearing her for over a year, and she gets very involved in the chakras. And I think for myself, I've been doing chakra work for a long time, but I didn't really understand the significance of how they can get out of alignment, just from silly things. And so I think it's really important as we're going through this part and really relating to all the parts in the world. And when you're talking about Stonehenge, I keep getting the message. It's sort of like we had talked about going to Kona and do activation. I keep getting the message of going to Edinburgh and Stonehenge and Glastonbury again. But again, it's about the chakra. It's not just about the location, and really understanding that part of my own body that needs things like that. Like you're saying, you're going back to these places. So I think for all of us to really start thinking very deeply about our chakras, because we've got to be really supportive of other people in their chakras. When we get this kind of arrogant thing that we're all healed and we're great because we're all healers, and isn't that great? But by listening to Margaret Lynch, which I was doing just before the call and we were doing the heart chakra, there's some, I can do it myself. I'm safe. I'm okay. You know, rather than asking for help or saying, you know, I feel really, well, I just had this thing with my eye and I was kind of, I was traumatized in a sense because I didn't expect it. And yet I thought it could happen. But then asking for help about it or support. And that's again, our heart chakra of admitting that, yeah, sometimes, or job changing or having Parkinson's. I think it's really important as we're going through these parts of ourselves to really understand and start really focusing on our own chakras as to what area needs more work, or including our sacral chakra, which is very powerful, but sometimes that's incongruent with that needs more healing. So that's all I'd say. And if anybody wants me to send, you know, she's on YouTube and she goes through each one. And right now we're at the heart chakra, but it's just really helpful because it's ways I've never thought of my chakras like that. And like I said, Marlo and I have been doing this for 3 years, almost four. And yet we were balancing our chakras, but not to the depth of what she goes into, which affects the whole world and the people we deal with and work with. So that's just a thought.
Okay, that's great information. Thank you for sharing, Linda. Yeah. But I think even though we're not going to do a long guided meditation today, I did meditate before we started. So I have some visual that I would like to share with you, but just a very short meditation about the full moon. So if we can all close your eyes and take a deep breath. And then exhale and feel your body relax. Feel your focus on yourself. And taking another deep breath. Focus on your heart chakra and your crown chakra as well. Take another deep breath. So visualize the full moon is above you, shining with a silver, pure, white glow. And the full moon right now, shooting on your crown chakra, infusing the pure, silver, white energy, light into your crown chakra. And then continuously pouring down the light, pouring down the energy from your crown chakra, going through your third eye, your head, fill up with your entire head. And continue to going down to your throat chakra area. And you feel like your head slowly becoming white and then shining and then blinking and coming down to your heart chakra. And you see the pure silver white lie like a liquid pouring into your heart, and slowly fill up your heart with a pure energy, and slowly coming down to your solar plexus. And coming down to your sacral chakra. And then to your root chakra. And to your both legs. Now you feel like you're bathing in this silver, pure, white light, white liquid. Your entire body bathing in it. Feel like a recharging, regeneration. Feel like a very pure cleansing in this pure silver white light. And this white light going out, continue to going out from your bottom of your feet, connect with the Mother Earth, connected to the ground, to the inner earth. So you're grounded and also reaching up to the higher dimension vibration energy. Continue to take in breath, deep breath. So allow the energy flow smoothly inside of your body to every single cell of your body. To recharge your DNA, upgrade your DNA. So remember the feeling of right now, in the future, any time, any day, any night, if you like to feel this again, you can do it yourself. Just visualizing the pure silver white liquid light coming down from the full moon and then bathing you to enhance your vibration, to charge, recharge your body, your mind, and spirit. And you can always invite your dragon or unicorn come to help you or come to protect you while you are doing this meditation or visualization. Okay, now we take a deep breath. And slowly we come back to our body. And take another deep breath. When you're ready, you can open your eyes Or if you want to continue stay, that will be okay too. So this is our full moon session today. A lot to cover, but we made it. So thank you for joining us. We'll just let go. I know you may be still in it, so I'll let you continue. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.